to Shattering Myths. I am your host. You can join us by calling 877-376-45. We're going to return to Yah's testimony, particularly regarding the importance of his Torah. Yesterday, we began a discussion where we focused on what he had revealed in Yahusha 1:7 and how that applies to our witness today. We did so appropriately in light of a set of circumstances that I'm not certain that I have a full containment on at this point, but evidently one of our most frequent callers, a good friend of mine, Larry, and some Christians and former Christians got into a spat as to what is appropriate as it relates to style over substance in terms of coming to understand what Yahweh said, and while at the same time exposing and condemning the myths which deceive so many and lead people away from God. And as I just checked briefly into issue, what I found is that most of those who were opposed to Larry's approach were not able to debate anything Larry said. It really boiled down to they didn't like his style, that Larry was too blunt, too bold, insensitive, and to use their words, insulting. And I have not read the full text, and I probably won't, of the chat room. We set that against this passage that was set for me to present to you yesterday, where God says that He wants us to be bold, to be courageous, to be blunt. And, of course, the example that he set is exactly this. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be rude. It does not mean that we should be the aggressors as it relates to presenting Yah's testimony and to confronting the myths that permeate our world. But we are to be bold. We are to be blunt. That is God's style. That is His guidance for us. This says, exclusively prevail by being strengthened, growing firm, strong, and courageous, and be very alert, bold, brave, and secure by means of being observant, for the purpose of acting upon, engaging in, and celebrating consistent with the Torah, which means teaching, not law. The Torah is the embodiment of God's guidance to us, so that when we observe it, we come to know who He is, we come to understand what He's offering, and by observing it and considering what He is offering us, we're in a position to respond appropriately to Him. But in this particular case, God is saying that it's beyond that. If you are particularly observant of the Torah, if you focus on the Torah, come to understand what I'm telling you, what I'm teaching you in the Torah, then you are prepared to be strong, to be courageous, to be bold, to be effective in your witness. And he's saying, you know, don't go out and try to witness on my behalf until such time as you are prepared, because you've come to know and understand. Now, one of the things that is written here between the lines that isn't bluntly said is that the reason that it's important to be strong, the reason it's important to have a backbone, the reason it's necessary to be brave and to be secure when witnessing on behalf of Yahweh's testimony is because His testimony goes against the grain. It goes against the crowd. Because when you recite what Yahweh says, most people who listen to it will think you're insulting them. Because you are. Because God is. Now, let me give you a great example. You've got the two fellas that were on the road to Emmaus. This was immediately following Yahusha's successful enactment, fulfilling the promises associated with Pesach, Passover, matzah, unleavened bread, and Bukkudim, first fruits. And on the day of first fruits, they're hightailing back towards Emmaus. And these are guys, fellas, that had spent a considerable time with Yahusha and his disciples. And they were clueless. And they're hightailing it back to Emmaus. And Yosha, that afternoon, teleports, because he's now an entirely new creation. He is as we will be, which is that he is now a spiritual entity. His spirit and his soul have reunited. His body is long gone. And so he is a spiritual entity that can take on physical form when it suits his interests. But otherwise, he can maneuver in time. He can maneuver in distance. He can appear wherever he wants to be in the blink of an eye. It is an amazing new construct that he has. And you'll also have to understand that he appears now to be as a completely different individual, because his original body, in concert with Passover, is gone. It was destroyed the night of Passover. There is no bodily resurrection, my friends. So you have Yosha appear in this new form right beside these guys that are walking to Emmaus. And he says, hey guys, you know, what's happening? He says, hey man, are you the only dude that doesn't know what's happening? This guy that, you know, claimed to be the Messiah came and performed all these marvelous things in our midst, and then they went and crucified him. They went and killed him. Oh, he said, yeah, well, that's quite a story. Why don't you tell me a little bit about it? And as they began to talk, he says, oh, goodness, you're morons. He even used the term that we derive moron from. Well, he didn't, because he wasn't speaking Greek. But in Greek, the translation of it, you find the basis of moron. You see, God is insulting when it comes to us when we act stupidly. You see, what Yosha told them is that you should not have been surprised by this. You should have understood this. After all, you know, I went to great lengths to provide you with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. It provides an eyewitness record of exactly what would happen on these 3 days. I told you exactly what was going to happen in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. Psalm 88, Psalm 22, Yeshayahu 53. I'm telling you, I told you exactly what was going to happen. I presented in my heart of my Torah what my promises were. I told you in the Sermon on the Mount that I was going to fulfill them. So why are you so surprised? Why are you so bewildered? Are you unable to think? And you see, that is God's approach. He gives us more credit than we give ourselves. And if he gives us the credit that says, you know, I gave you the ability to think, which is this nesoma that we get, that is our conscience, which is different than our soul, which is our consciousness. And then I gave you the Torah, which is written in words, memorialized, so that you can examine it and come to understand what it says. And if you squander that opportunity, then I think you're foolish. The smart thing would have been, since this is the only document in the world that can credibly be perceived as divinely inspired, it's the only document in the world that is filled with precise predictions that have all come true exactly as they were predicted. It's the one document in the world where God proved beyond any doubt that he authored it. You'd think that you'd care enough about that to read it, and that since I told you that I came to fulfill it, when I did, you'd recognize that's what I did. And so, you guys, you're foolish. That's the approach that Yosha has, not only to those who are searching, but even more so to those who promote religion. He wasn't all soft and lovey-dovey when he was encountered by the scribes and the Pharisees, which would be today's liberal politicians and conservative religious leaders. No. He attacked them. He was blunt. He was bold. And so what this is saying between the lines is that by observing the Torah, by coming to really understand it, and embracing it, you'll be strengthened, and you're going to need that strength, because when you speak on behalf of the Torah, most everyone is not only going to be opposed to what you're saying, they're going to attack you personally. That you are going to be slandered. That what they're going to do is they're going to use the ad hominem argument. They can't refute the message that you're bringing, so they'll attack you as the messenger. And so the one way that you can be courageous and bold and strengthened and firm in doing this is to so embrace and understand my Torah that you recognize that any attack on you is irrelevant, that you get to the point that you don't care what they say about you. And that you begin to take on the same style that Yahweh and Yosha have, which is, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the good, and I'm going to tell you the bad. You wanted the knowledge of good and evil, you got it. I'm going to tell you that if you embrace my teaching, if you embrace the terms and conditions of my covenant, here are the blessings that are going to happen in this life and in the next life, and here are all the things that I'm promising you, including eternal life, a relationship with me. You get to be my kids. But I'm also going to tell you that if you adhere to religion, if you promote religion, if you lie to others and mislead them and direct people away from me, here's the consequence, and it ain't pretty. And God is just blunt. He just lays it out like that. This notion that he's this lovey-dovey, I love all the little children, and I can't wait to save everybody, is just nonsense. You have to be strengthened, because to do this, you're going to have very few allies. And most people are going to attack you personally. And you've got to be of that mindset. And the only way to be of that mindset is to understand the Torah to the point that you're like David. That you will sing Yah's praises, that you will witness on behalf of him and not care how people respond. Because that's really the cool deal about all of this. It's God's testimony. It's his plan. It's his offer. It's his instruction. It's not mine. I'm not here trying to prove him. I'm not trying to defend him. Just simply, here's what he said. Take it or leave it. And so that's what this is saying, is that if you really celebrate the Torah, if you embrace the Torah, if you observe the Torah, then you will be strengthened and be able to withstand the assaults of those who would demean you for having impugned their religion, their patriotism, their politics, their military allegiance, because God wants us to walk away from all of those things, to disassociate from them, and he also condemns them, just as we should. Because witnessing to God's testimony without also exposing the things that God wants us to walk away from is only half of the equation. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. To Shattering Myths. We were talking about how there's a myth within Christendom and within our society in general, and this myth has been promoted by political correctness, that we're supposed to be tolerant, we're supposed to be all loving. It's the myth that God is all loving and loves all the little children and goes on, yada, yada, yada. Well, the fact is that's not God at all. In fact, what God says of those who pray to him that don't observe his Torah says, I don't hear the prayers. So all of those billions of people out there who are not Torah observant, who are praying to God, and they have their, you know, like Paul says, pray without ceasing. God didn't even hear it. Doesn't hear one of them. In fact, he even says that those individuals who are not Torah observant, who, you know, are trying to give lip service to, you know, some caricature of God, I see them as if their faces were covered with dung. I see them ugly. And I know that sounds harsh to people because we've been told, indoctrinated exactly the opposite way. But here's the truth, and it's not a popular understood truth. If you don't hate, you cannot love. If you do not hate, you cannot love. Now, again, it's the opposite of what Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians. And so unless you come to recognize that Paul was a false prophet, it would be very difficult for you to assimilate what I've just said. Yahweh says that he hates. And you have to hate to be able to love. Why is that? Well, put yourself in the position of a father. If you have vicious people out there that are threatening your children, threatening to take them away from you by filling them full of all sorts of poison and lies, and that lies that are going to foreshorten your children's lives and to ruin them. If you do not hate those individuals for doing that, not only to your children, but to countless children over countless eons of time, if you do not hate them, then you're not loving your children. It's a reality, folks. If you don't hate Christianity, then you don't love the Torah. If you don't hate Judaism, then you don't love the covenant. If you don't hate Islam, then you don't know or love Yahweh. He hates these things. If you don't despise the corruption that is Jesus Christ, because you know that that name is essential to knowing who he is, that his actual name, Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves, tells you who he is and what God is doing for us. If that doesn't cause you to hate the misnomer, Jesus Christ, which has no meaning whatsoever, then you're not informed. You haven't observed the Torah. If you don't know that God hates being called Lord, because Lord is the title that he applies to Satan, because it's Satan who wants to control people's lives, that God is into free will, our choice to either love him or reject him, and that he has but one name, and he told us that he has one name for all time, and it ain't Jesus, and it ain't Allah, and God isn't a name, it's a title. His one and only name is Yahweh. If knowing that, you don't hate those who in religious publications throughout the ages have replaced Yahweh's name in his testimony with the Lord, then you don't love God's children. Because that's the single biggest crime that has ever been committed. Not my opinion. Yahweh tells us that in his book called Yirmiyahu. So God is saying, exclusively prevail by being strengthened, growing firm and strong and courageous. Be very alert, bold, brave, and secure by means of being observant, for the purpose of acting upon, celebrating, and profiting from, consistent with all things associated with the Torah, God's teaching, his guidance, his direction. Which, as a result of the relationship, Moshe, my servant, guided and instructed you. Directed you. Not turning aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you gain understanding. What's the purpose of teaching? So that you gain understanding. The Torah is not law. God didn't say that you obey these laws so that you will be submissive. No. He said, I want you to observe this teaching so that you might understand. And that is the perspective that is so difficult for those poisoned by religion to appreciate. You gain understanding of the teaching and you succeed in everything you do and in everywhere you go. We'll return and explore this concept, this teaching from Yahweh after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. So, returning to Yah's teaching regarding his message, we find in the same book, in fact, the very next line, this is brought to us by Yahusha. So for those who wonder if Yahweh told us how to pronounce Yahusha's name, he did so over 200 times, and the prime example is this Yahusha, who is mentioned being with Moshe when the Torah was revealed on Mount Horeb. He is now the Yahusha, who is the principal actor in this story, and this is Yahweh speaking to Yahusha, and Yahusha speaking to the children of Yisrael. I'm fairly convinced that Yahweh knows how to spell his name, and he spelled it so that it is pronounced Yahusha. Now, as it relates to how to pronounce it, we know from Yahweh's name that it is based on the verb Haya, which tells us how to pronounce the vowel, the He vowel in Hebrew. So, Yahweh, which has two Hays in it, as does Haya, the verb, which means to exist, upon which it is based, which no one disputes its pronunciation. And 99.9% of Hebrew words with the He in them are pronounced Ah. And so that part is easy. Now, if you want guidance and instruction from God, we have just read that the place to observe, to scrutinize, to examine is His Torah. Well, the O in Torah comes from the Hebrew wa, just like the O in Shalom, which you hear is the most repeated term spoken about from Jews worldwide, is from the Hebrew wa, Shalom. Well, Torah, the O from Torah, which is probably the second most famous Hebrew word, second best known Hebrew word after Shalom, is Torah. And the O in Torah comes from the Hebrew wa. It's T-R-W-H. T-O-W-R-A-H. We got the W and the R jumbled there. Excuse my dyslexia. But God's teaching, His Torah, tells us how to pronounce the Hebrew wa, which is also a vowel. And the fact is that some 90% of the Hebrew words with a wa are pronounced, the wa is pronounced like the letter, the vowel O in English. And about 10% of the time, the vowel wa is pronounced like a U or a W. That's how we get the name of our letter W, the wa, are pronounced U, like Yahudim, related to Yah. So it's Yahweh. As for Yahusha, you take the first half of Yahweh, the Yah-O, and you combine it with the Hebrew word for salvation. The verb for salvation is Yahusha. And so it's Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves. And it is written that way over 220 times in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. So there is no question as to what his name is. And for those who would say it's Yeshua, no, it's not Yeshua. That's a rabbinical corruption. He came in his father's name. His father's name is Yahweh. That is what Yahusha means, that it's Yahweh who is saving us. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So your name's not really Steve?
No, my name is not Steve. It's not Mortimer. It's not Murray. And my name is really unimportant. I'm irrelevant. But, you know, Yahusha and Yahweh, they're not irrelevant. And if Yahweh told us his name 7,000 times, aren't we, like, a little bit presumptuous to change it?
Not only that, doesn't he say in there how important names are? Isn't that something that...
When he introduces his name, he says, this is my only name, my one and only name. It's the only way I want to be mentioned, recalled, and remembered. It is the only name that I will respond to. It's the only name that identifies me. He says that if you try to approach me with any other name, you will not exist in my presence. So, yeah, it's rather important. God actually says in the book of Yirmiyahu, which is written to Goyim, which would be people from nations and races other than Yisrael, and it's scribed specifically to Gentiles, Goyim, living in the last days. And it's a book that focuses on trying to underscore God's hatred for religion and politics. and why he wants us to walk away from Babylon so that we're not corrupted by religion and politics. That's the entire summation, if you will, of the book. In that book, he devotes an entire chapter of what we would consider a chapter today to explaining why the corruption of his testimony by men who have replaced his name Yahweh with the satanic title Lord is the single most grievous crime that has ever been perpetrated on humankind.
And on that note, wouldn't you, as somebody who's following a God, wouldn't you want to know the name of that person? Wouldn't that be something that you would care about?
Yeah. You would think. You know, as I was talking in that first segment, since the only candidate in our world today for a divinely inspired document is the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. That's it. Every other claim to be for a document to be divinely inspired either contains no prophecy, or the prophecies that it contains have been shown to be untrue and unreliable, or it's internally contradicting, or it's just unbelievably stupid. You know, Mormonism, it's just stunningly stupid. Islam, internally contradictory. There are 1,000 reasons that any informed and rational person would reject Islam. There is only one document that a informed and rational person could read and have absolute proof that it was divinely inspired. Only one, the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms by Yahweh. In that, he says, not only is Yahweh my one and only name, and there is no way to enter my presence without knowing it and using it, but he tells us specifically what we ought to do if we want to engage in a relationship with him, if we want to be part of his family. And he tells us, here's the benefits for it. And he tells us that if you choose to neglect this and you choose to ignore what I've offered, I'm not going to send you to hell. You're just simply going to cease to exist. I gave you mortal life. I gave you free will. I gave you a nesama, a conscience, so that you can differentiate between that which is right and wrong. I gave you all of these gifts. You will have squandered them. I don't know you. You don't know me. That's just the end of it. But he tells, because he is loving, he says, I hate those who have fought against me. Those like Paul, who waged war against Yah's Torah teaching. He says, I hate them. Because they, like wolves in sheep's clothing, have snatched away my children from me. They have poisoned my children. They have harmed my children. And so he hates them. And there is a consequence for that, a penalty for that, which is eternal separation in a lightless place. By the way, there is no torture. There is no fires. It's a lightless prison. It's called Sheol, a place of questioning. And so you would think that since it's obvious that there was a creator of this universe, even science realizes the universe was created. Since there was a creator of this universe, since there was an author of life, and since the creator of the universe and the author of life proved through prophecy that he authored and inspired his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, you would think that it would be reasonable to have people observe, which is to examine what he wrote. But how many actually do? This God says, do not depart, moving away from the written scroll of the Torah. This then you should meditate upon, and it should flow out of your mouth in the day and in the darkness of night, so that you closely examine and carefully consider, consistently being observant for the purpose of acting upon, engaging in, celebrating, and profiting, consistent with everything that is written in it. For then, indeed, at that point in time, you will be prepared to succeed. You will be useful, and you will accomplish the goal. In an association with the way, and also at that point of time, you will gain understanding as a result of the teaching and succeed. God is telling us that if you want to succeed, if you want to prevail, if you want to accomplish the goal, the way that you do so is meditating upon the written scroll of the Torah. Don't try to change it. Don't embrace a Christian New Testament. Don't change it. Don't walk away from it. Embrace it. Observe it. Meditate upon it. Act upon it. What does he mean by act upon it? This Asha. You see, there's five terms and conditions of the covenant. The first of them is that we walk away from our religion, from our politics, from our country, from the things that confuse, from the Babylon of our world, which God in Yirmiyahu explains is religion and politics. He wants us to walk away from those things and then to come to rely on him. And the only way that you can trust and rely him is to come to know him first and understand what it is that he is offering. And the only way to do that is to observe his Torah and to meditate upon it. Pretty simple, folks. It's not complicated. This first thing you have to do is to scrub the Christian corruptions from your mind and realize that the Torah is not comprised of laws to obey. There's no Hebrew word for obey. And Torah means teaching. It means guidance. And that these statements all tell us how important it is for us to observe that guidance and meditate on it, to think about it so that we come to understand it, so that we can act upon it. And that everything in the Torah exists to teach us something about Yah's nature and how we can form a relationship with him. Once you're in that place, then the lights go on. Then all of a sudden, you understand the path that God, the way that he provided for us to approach him. And when you do that, there's other things that are going to happen to you. You're going to be appalled by religious deception. You're going to be appalled by political deception. You're going to want to speak out against those things so other people aren't lured by them, deceived by them, beguiled by them, destroyed by them. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. We are joined at this moment by Joshi, who is calling in from Ohio and who would like to add to this part of the discussion. Hello, Joshi. How are you this morning?
Hi, Yetta. I'm good. And I came in late, but I came in at the good point.
Okay.
Right on top of that, I'm going to speak about.
Okay.
And I'm going to reference Facebook because it's a huge social media. But what
yes.
I'm finding are there are false prophets claiming that they've been chosen, and they are using Lord and Adonai and Jesus Christ and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I am asking these people, how can you claim that you're a prophet when you don't even know his name? And I reference this. It's Proverbs 30:4,
mm-hmm.
which says, "Who comes unto the scene stands upright, enabling others to stand, establishing all the earth without ceasing. What is his personal and proper name? What is his son's personal and proper name? Surely you know." And I have been banned from Facebook for exposing these prophets. They can't answer that question. But what they do is they have a huge amount of people following them, and I just want alert people to be quite aware of these false prophets.
Yeah, it's going to be more and more pervasive. There's, I want to set what you just said in context, first of all, because I want to differentiate what we're doing here from someone who claims to be a prophet. I can tell you what's going to happen in the future. That does not make me a prophet. I can tell you what Yahweh wants us to know and how to participate in the covenant and how to be saved, but it's not because I'm a prophet. In fact, the last thing I would want to claim as a prophet, because that means that everything that I extrapolate from Yah's testimony regarding the future, I would have to get precisely accurate, or I'm as good as dead. Now, what we claim on this program is singular. That we have observed Yah's Torah and as a result of observing it, which is to examine it and consider it, have come to understand what God is saying. And so it is our desire to share with you what God is saying. That does not make us a prophet. Now, the fact that God predicted what's going to happen in our world precisely, including when he's going to return, the fact that we can tell you what he said means that he is a prophet, not me, not Jossie. Now, those who claim special divine inspiration are wrong. I don't know if I want to say 100% of the time or just 99.999999999999999% of the time. As Joshi said, the vast majority of them don't even know God's name. You know, David Koresh doesn't even know God's name. Claims that he is the Messiah. No. And so the problem is that since most people don't have the antidote for beguiling lies, and there's only one. God says his antidote for beguiling lies is his Torah instruction. That when you come to understand it, you can no longer be beguiled. You can't be played for a fool. Because they don't have that, they're fooled by these people. And there are thousands of them out there who are false messiahs, if you will. And they're going to become, their voices will become more prevalent, and their following will become larger as more and more people are beguiled. But God was really clear when he explained who he is and what is his name. And there isn't any opportunity to say that you are a witness on behalf of God if you don't know God's name. That doesn't mean that just because you know his name is Yahweh, that you are one of the messengers on behalf of his testimony. But it means that is a prerequisite. And so you need to be careful. Now, God himself has a test. He provides it in the Torah, in the book called Devarim. We've corrupted that to Deuteronomy. 18th chapter, God has a list of seven things. He says, if you want to know whether or not somebody is speaking for me or not, here are the seven things that you should consider. And of course, foremost amongst them is, do they speak in the name of Yahuwah? Is what they say consistent with Yah's Torah? And what you find with these who claim personal revelation is that almost uniformly they do not. Joshi, stay with us, and we'll return to Shattering Myths after the break. I am Yada. Oh.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give